Welcome to Just JKing, the podcast where we transform your HR headaches into high fives. Whether you're a founder, CEO, or just someone with HR questions you're too afraid to ask, we've got the insights, laughs, and light bulb moments that you crave.
Enjoying the show? Hit that five-star review and subscribe now so you never miss out.
Welcome to another episode of Just JKing with Jennifer and Kim, where we help you turn your HR headaches into high fives. Today, we're tackling performance reviews, moving from an annual ritual to continuous feedback. So we all know, Jennifer, that performance management doesn't start where there's an issue with performance. Performance management is an ongoing cycle to try to help employees to really bring their best to their job. And when I think about performance management, I really think of three key rules of performance management. Why don't you take the audience through rule number one?
Okay. Well, first of all, I just want to add that I think that we know that it's not something that comes up when there's a performance issue, but a great deal of leaders seem to treat it that way. So that's what we're sort of hoping to correct today, is that there's actually some rules around this that you should follow to make it more effective. It's not something you want to put in place on an emergency last minute basis. It's actually an ongoing process that can be quite valuable. Rule number one is that it starts with clear expectations and goal setting. We really want employees to understand what their objectives are before we start measuring them on how they performed. I think that makes perfect sense, right?
Absolutely. And then also helping them to understand how their goals link to the organization's goals. So when they're hearing the CEO and the senior leadership team talk about performance of the organization, they feel connected to that.
Yeah, that's extremely key, actually, from an employee experience perspective. It helps create a sense of belonging that they have an important role to play within the organization and to contribute towards the organization's success. But also they understand how the daily things they do, they can take some credit and have a sense of achievement out of what the company is able to achieve.
And then, Jennifer, how important do you think measurement is in that whole process?
I think it's extremely important, because if you don't have objective measurement, unfortunately, some employees will assume they're hitting the mark when they are not. And then the reverse can also happen, where really good conscientious employees will think they're not hitting it, but they actually are. And both of those scenarios can lead to quite a bit of a disengagement with employees. So the more objective the measures and the more everybody understands when the objective is met, the more effective the performance management system is going to be.
I also want to talk, though, about when we talk about clear expectations and goal settings in rule number one, it's also important that employees understand the expectation part of that goal setting, which is, you know, it's not only about what you deliver, it's about how you deliver it. And the overall values and culture of the organization need to be met while they're performing. So, of course, you can have your best performing person and like a lineup of dead bodies behind them of people that they've walked over or treated badly. And it needs to be set as a clear expectation that not only are they going to perform against these objective goals, but also the kind of behavior that they bring to the job is equally important. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it sounds like you're making a case for maybe incorporating some core values and other desired behaviors into the performance management system, as well as all of those business objective type items that would be in there.
100%. I think it's really important. It also provides a lot of leeway for providing feedback to employees. If you only provide them feedback on their goals that are, you know, their KPIs that are objective measures, then what you're ultimately saying is that there's no room to help performance manage bad behavior. And that goes to our second rule, which is about continuous performance management. So performance management should never be an event. It's an ongoing process. So step one might be about setting the expectations and defining what performance needs to look like. But throughout the entire year, there should be ongoing check-ins to let employees know how they're doing.
Yeah, I think if you're only doing this, you know, once a year, You're really missing a lot of productivity in between there, where employees could have been guided, encouraged, have a sense of achievement throughout the year. And you're just completely leaving all of that good stuff on the table, waiting for this magical day when all this takes place. And that is absolutely the least effective approach to performance management.
Totally agree.
Okay, good. So rule number three is that there should be no surprises during performance reviews. Now, this would be completely circumvented by following rule number two, I'd like to point out, hopefully, if we're being open and honest throughout the year and we're continuously engaged with our employees' performance, there shouldn't be any surprises. But the absolute last thing you want is to get to the form that's done annually, that's going on their record, and then have something come at them completely out of left field that completely throws them off. At that point, it seems like a very permanent mark on their record that they could have possibly fixed well before that if they had just received ongoing feedback.
100%. I totally agree. And there is nothing worse than going into a performance review conversation where you are surprised as an employee, or where as a leader, it makes it much more challenging for you as well.
So if you do that, if you shock someone in the performance review, you get into a situation where even the most conscientious employee will suddenly really feel like they want to shut down and disengage from the process because they just feel blindsided. They haven't had a chance to sort of defend themselves. They haven't had a chance to absorb the feedback in order to turn it into a positive opportunity for their improvement. There's just almost no point to doing that. It's just going to create more negative consequences than it will fix anything.
And what I love to do as a key tool in the performance review process is before a formal performance review that happens however many times, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes, I love to have employees do a self-assessment. And by employees submitting a self-assessment in advance, it gives the manager the opportunity to really understand the employee's perspective and to understand what kind of conversation they're entering into with the employee. At that point, there should also be no surprises for the manager. The manager should see the focus, the feedback that they provided to the employee throughout the year and the coaching they provided should be reflected in the employee's assessment of their own performance. And if it isn't, then they are absolutely going into a much more challenging conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. If the individual employee's self-assessment is a shock, then and you've attempted ongoing feedback throughout the year that you think was being delivered and making an impact on that employee, when you see that it's not reflected in their self-assessment, then you also know where to better direct your focus on coaching and making sure that the messages you're sending about their performance were actually clear enough that they really understood them and took them to heart. Because if it's not reflected in their self-assessment, then it's clear that that message, while you may have tried to deliver it, didn't actually hit home.
Agreed. So Jennifer, now let's talk about the frequency of the formal performance review. This has been an ongoing debate. I still remember about 10, 15 years ago, we were doing these annual reviews. It was super formal. It was once a year. It was a sit-down meeting with employees, and everybody hated it. And then we moved away from that and we went to a place where it became en vogue to do no performance reviews. Everybody was just going to coach throughout the year. There would be no formal reviews. We don't actually need formal documentation. And you and I both know that didn't work very well because most managers weren't doing the work and employees didn't really have the right levels of conversations. And so now here we are in the kind of current times doing performance reviews in some kind of more formal way than we did previously in the last 5 years, but definitely not as formal as the last 10 years. What are your thoughts on the frequency of a proper formal performance review process? And what are you seeing with your clients that's working the best?
Well, first I want to say that when I heard we were all ditching them, I was thrilled because it had always been such an uphill battle to get people to even participate in these, both on the employee and the manager side. But it's not the fact that we were trying to manage performance that was the problem. It was the way it was being done. And there were a lot of the elements of those old ways in the rules. They broke a lot of the rules that we've already just discussed in terms of, you know, there being all kinds of surprises, it not being very transparent, there not being any lead up or clear objective set beforehand. And so the whole process did become really sticky and painful. And so I think initially I was like, oh, okay, great. Now it's on trend to not do all this, which is just HR people basically nagging everyone constantly to fill out the form and then filing it. That's really about as exciting as it and fulfilling as it got for the HR people during doing it the old way. Your point, I think after a few years of not doing it, we realized that actually what you end up with sort of no performance management, and that's certainly not optimal either. So I like to have pretty regular check-ins. And that's just goes to preventing any surprises in the formal form. I'm pretty good with a one sort of annual cycle where there's basically like a formal meeting at the end to wrap up, or at the end of your goal cycle to wrap things up and then think about moving into the next cycle. But what's been your experience with that?
So I've actually worked with a number of my clients, helping them to put formal performance review processes in place. And what I always recommend is a mid-year check-in. And I love a mid-year check-in, which we don't provide anybody with a numerical value of what their performance would have been reviewed at, but it's an opportunity to formally get employees and managers together talking, getting them to review the goals that they set at the beginning of the year, to provide specific feedback on the performance and on the employee's success in achieving those goals. And in some cases, I mean, things are moving so fast these days, it's about tweaking the goals. The goals that you may have set back in January may no longer be as relevant because something has changed dramatically, either in the market or in the way that the company is performing. And so I love the idea of a mid-year check-in. It ensures that while we hope that managers are doing regular feedback and check-ins and coaching, but it ensures that at least mid-year way through the year that we know that a conversation is taking place. You know, at midway through the year, if you're going to take a look at the overall performance of the organization and understand where each of your employees sits, if you do have a bonus program, this is a good time to figure out if you're going to be able to fund it or what the funding formula would look like, assuming that things aren't going to change dramatically by the end of the year. So finance people also love the idea of a mid-year performance review.
Cool. Yeah, I think that I think the important thing is that there is ongoing feedback. You follow the three rules and you do what's best for your organization because ultimately you just want it to be effective. So whatever's going to be effective for our individual clients is usually what we settle on. All of these processes do have a time commitment attached to them as well. And we always want to acknowledge that in terms of the, I don't want to say administrative burden, but that's probably how a lot of people would look at it. And being able to run these processes. And I think the most important thing is that you have one that actually gets completed. And so that you sort of right size it to the commitment they're willing to make so that it is done consistently and in accordance with what employees have been promised and are expecting. So I think we've done a really good discussion on this. Kim, do you want to just wrap it up for us and do a little bit of recap of everything we've covered?
For sure. So in summary, let's talk about the three rules. So first of all, employees need to have goals at the beginning of the year so that they know what the performance expectations are. Ideally, those goals link directly to the organization's goals. So employees understand their function within the organization and really feel a level of connection to overall performance of the company. Second of all, it should be an ongoing process. So performance management needs to happen throughout the year, whether you do an annual review, whether you do mid-year reviews, or whether you do no reviews that are formal. Throughout the year, performance needs to be managed and employees require feedback. And then lastly, there should never be surprises in a formal performance review. And if you do number one and number two, the number three becomes much easier for everybody involved and becomes a process that employees and managers actually look forward to. So we encourage everybody to implement these rules in their own organizations and make performance management a daily practice.
And a bonus tip on the daily practice thing is that you can also thank your employees daily. That really goes a long way in encouraging engagement. That's just a side note, but I'm really amazed the lack of sort of appreciation that is regularly shown to employees when leaders have an opportunity on a daily basis to just say thank you. And that really goes a surprisingly long way to keep employees engaged. So I always like to add that one in. All right, so that wraps up this episode of Just JKing. We hope you found it really insightful. If you enjoyed today's episode, do us a favor, rate us 5 stars, subscribe, and share us with your network if you think they might find it valuable.
And that's a wrap on today's episode of Just JKing. We hope you enjoyed the conversation and took away some valuable insights to shake up your own HR game.
If you loved this episode, and we hope you did, make sure to hit that subscribe button, leave us a review, and share it with your network. We want to hear your thoughts, your feedback, and even your own wild HR stories.
And don't forget to connect with us on LinkedIn or drop us a message. Let us know what topics you want us to dive into next.
Until next time, keep it real, keep it human, and always keep JKing.
Thanks for listening.